All right, my talkers. Happy hump day. It's sunny out there. It's a little cool, but don't worry. We've got a good show ahead here, hanging out with Lori today. Me and you, what is in store? How was your night?
We're a thong today is what we are.
We each got
a leg in a very brief pair of thongs. Okay, there's just two of us.
I love it.
Usually when there's three of us, we feel like we've got our granny panties on and we can handle anything. But we're thonging it today.
We are.
It's freezing cold out because now we've been reverse psychologized, if you will, because 20 in January after the cold, we're like, oh, we're broken. 20 will feel warm the rest of the winter. Well, no, it's been so warm. Now 28 feels freezing.
Yeah, it feels very cold. But yeah, you're right. When it's 50 in the middle of January and February, and then all of a sudden we're...
Yeah, you're wrecked.
Yeah, you're wrecked. It's going to be a little bit of a surprise. We could see a couple inches of snow this weekend.
Really?
That's what they're saying. Just a couple. Nothing to worry about too much. But
all right. Well, maybe the kid that Casey paid money to take care of our snow removal this winter will actually earn a little bit more.
Yeah. We could use
the moisture. He paid him in advance because he thought...
Well, after last year, why wouldn't you? Might have saved yourself some money. I mean,
well, we were gone in February. We can't let things not be shoveled.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So anyway, but he's like... I only shoveled once. Yes. And I'm like, well, winter isn't over yet.
That's true. We've had, it was what, like 3 years ago on April 13th or 19th, we had 12 inches or something or 10 inches of snow. It was nuts.
It was nuts. And I was gone.
Oh, you were.
I was.
You were gone. That's right.
I was gone. I don't know why I do. Yeah.
Oh, that was a storm. And then I remember back in like 2013 or 2014 on May 1st, it snowed quite a bit too, about 10 years ago. So anything can happen.
Well, you know, you were talking about how Frenchies have been named for the second year in a row. The most popular dog in America. So this weekend when I was visiting my friend Neil and his husband Rick in the Tapatio area part of Phoenix. And we took a couple walks. One was a hike. One was just a walk around the neighborhood. And my buddy Neil he stops and talks to dogs. And I realized that I'm a dog snob in that I only wish to meet and greet the push face dogs.
I'm talking Frenchie. Yeah.
I met a chow this weekend.
Oh.
A very fluffy chow that didn't have a haircut. I love a pug. I love a bulldog.
Oh, yeah, the breeding.
But he's wanting to stop and talk to all these big dogs. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? We only stop for the...
The little ones, the squishies, the squish face.
I get dogs, because I always feel like, okay, there's, you know, I don't know. I mean, he even put out his hand to a dog that looked like a pit bull to me.
We have a lot of people that come up because we have the big breed and the small breed, which really helps.
Do you have a wolfhound?
We have an Irish wolfhound, and then I've got my King Charles. So I've got the gigantic hunt right now. He's a year old, and he's 150 pounds. And then I got my 20-pounder, which makes it for a little bit easier for people to approach us, because if they see the big guy by the little guy, there's not this,
you know.
And also, we do appreciate... when people ask. And I like that Neil, like you said, was asking people to...
Can I meet your dog? And I'm like, are we going to meet every dog?
You know?
Everybody had a dog.
He's a dog socialite, you know?
He is a dog socialite. And you know what was happening at the Footprint Center, if anyone's going to Phoenix, it's the arena where they play basketball. So it's just... It's not quite as big as a hockey arena like XL. So I don't know. It felt just a little bit
more intimate,
a little bit tighter. But Bruce Springsteen kicked off, you know, remember he had to cancel the rest of his tour because of acid reflux or an ulcer or something. He kicked it off. He and the E Street Band were at Footprint Center last night.
Well, you saw him when he was here, right?
Bruce? He opened his U.S.
tour here at
XL.
And you said it was a great show.
It was a great show, and Casey and I left for Hawaii the next day. I was just like, I am living the life. That was the start of Concert Connie last year.
That was, you were on a roll.
Yeah, and I'm like, Casey, we're going to the boss tonight, and we're leaving for Hawaii tomorrow. And he's like, should we do a happy dance? I'm like, several.
Please.
And I'm going to let you chase me around the bedroom later, too. Such a good mood.
Of course.
But anyway, so that was last night, and I guess they were in rare form. And, you know, Bruce is like, he is buff and working out.
Good.
And just like he did here, there was a photo of him in the one of the Phoenix papers. He rips open his shirt to show his chiseled pecs.
There we go.
You know, he's like 73, 74.
And if you got a body like that, exactly, at that age, goals and show it off, my friend. Yeah. Kind of like when you guys saw, was it Rick Springfield had the same type body, right? You were saying
he was just a lean, mean muscle machine.
Good.
Yeah, it was really pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind people, because we have been talking a lot about all the Royal Clown Show that's been happening over at Kensington Palace. You know what happened 50 years ago today? And it was not on, it was not featured in season 4 of The Crown, which would have been the time period. 50 years ago today, March 20th, 1974, a man by the name of Ian Ball, a block from Buckingham Palace, tried to kidnap Princess Anne.
Whoa. Oh.
And the bodyguard, who's 81 now, gave an interview to the BBC today about this attempted kidnapping. She's 23. It happened a couple months after she married Captain Mark Phillips.
Wow.
And, you know, people, anyone who saw the actress who played young Princess Anne, she was feisty in all the best ways that Harry was feisty. She's not the heir. She's a spare. You know, she's Prince Charles, you know, next in line. Yep. But, you know, she knows that. But anyways.
Got the family line. Yep.
And she's very just, she's everything. So this Ian Bell overtook the car, stopped it sideways, came out, bang, bang, shot the bodyguard in the chest.
Jeez.
Hand, shot the driver, and came, tried to get Princess Anne to come out of the car. He had a gun on her, and the famous line that she says to him, and that she also confirmed about 3 years ago in a People magazine, that he ordered her to get out of the car, and she said, "Not bloody likely."
Oh, badass. I like it.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it's weird that The Crown skipped on one of the kind of most incredible things, and it was, he was going to kidnap her and try and ransom her for $4 million, but
it's like a movie. I mean,
she didn't want to go, but he shot two policemen, the chauffeur, and she kind of just rolled out the other side of the car door and assembled to get on the other side of the car from him.
Good for her.
And then people were
there by
within minutes, you know.
I mean, you get three shots off like that, there's going to be a crowd, I'm sure. But my gosh,
yeah,
that's a,
not
that's,
they bloody skipped likely. That. They skipped it, but just showing you like how things not have been handled in the firm. Okay, just to show you. And then needless to say, royal protection changed after that in 1974.
Imagine. I would imagine.
But kind of an interesting choice on The Crown that they didn't ever include that.
Yeah, it's a juicy.
But you can't include all the juicy juice.
They keep giving, yeah, for sure.
All right, listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Anne and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Bradley Traynor.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Okay, so today, dropping on Apple TV, so it's already out, probably maybe the first two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Palm Royale dropped today on Apple Plus, and this is the dramedy co-starring, well, Kristen Wiig is in the lead, Laura Dern, Allison Janney, Ricky Martin is in it, yeah. And it centers on this former pageant queen who tries to break into the upper echelons of high society in Palm Royale, which is basically a stand-in for Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay.
In late 1960s Florida. And so it's we're going to have like amazing costumes. It's going to be very, I think, over the top. I'm really hoping that, because like I had such high hopes, and I know Julia did, and Brittany and other shows for Feud, the Truman Capote versus the Swans.
Yeah.
And I've just been hate watching it. I haven't even finished it. It's just like, I don't understand.
It's not telling the story correctly, or?
It's very bitter in the telling of it. And I feel like Ryan Murphy is being somewhat mean to Truman Capote and not giving, I don't know, I feel like there could be more nuance in that. Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of Googling going on. But this is a made up story,
yeah. You know,
so we're not going to have that. Carol Burnett plays this over the top, rich, widowed heiress. So she's got like this really great part, but was really delighted to see that Ricky Martin, because I haven't seen Kristen Wiig show up on a couch anywhere. Mm-mm. Maybe she's on with Fallon tonight. She covers the Hollywood Reporter. But Ricky Martin has been out promoting the show, and we've got a little bit of his appearance from the Today Show.
Ricky, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thanks
you
for having me.
You guys get off to a rocky start, but
we're two alike.
Yes. Yeah. So, for folks who aren't familiar with it, this is a new series. Yeah. Kristen Wiig's sort of the main character, mm-hmm. and it's centered on her trying to become a part of this exclusive club in 1969. It's about money. It's about class. But it's also about being an outsider and trying to fit in.
It's about deceit. It's about dark humor. It's mm-hmm. about trying to be part of a club that you know you're not a part of.
Yeah.
But you really want to. And it's filled with lesson. It's really funny, but it's also really sad. I guess the opposite of tribe when it comes to obviously comedy and darkness. And like you said, the artists, that the actresses on the show are just legends that are wonderful. We have Carol Burnett, who is amazing. I keep talking about her because she's the highlight of my year. Because of everything that I've learned in this couple of years, just working with her.
There was so much noise in the background.
Yeah, they're just playing different clips of them.
I hate when they do that.
I know, right? It's just, but it does show, like you said, the costumes, which he'll get into later.
Okay, well, let's listen to him. I love it. Deceit and dark humor. Yeah. And I'm like, and Kaia Gerber is in this. Also, Josh Lucas, Leslie Gibb.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so let's play this other cut where he's talking about, I think he's talking about Bruce Dern.
He is, yes.
You talk about Carol Burnett. You've got Kristen Wiig, as we've mentioned, Leslie Bibb. I mean, this you've got Bruce and Laura Dern.
Yeah.
I mean, some amazing actors, also mm-hmm. some great comic actors. Mm-hmm. What is that like to be able to stretch those comic chops?
Right, because I mean, most of the things that I've done in acting are pretty dramatic. Mm-hmm. And when they told me about this show, I just said, okay, let's give it a try. I'm ready. The beautiful thing about acting comedy is that you don't know what's going to happen between action and cut. You just never know. So you just have to allow yourself to fly, be ready. Especially, I was working with Bruce Dern. I was lucky enough to work with him. And he said, Ricky, leave your script in your dressing room because we're not going to use it. And I'm like, what?
I'm sure the writers love that.
Everything he came up with was amazing. It was brilliant. So I was really nervous. But then again, it's great because it's liberating at the same time. So it's fantastic.
Wow. And this sounds very soapy because, you know, there's toward affairs, attempted murders, backstabbings. There's a scene where Carol Burnett says, you know, I think she might be talking to Ricky Martin. Darling, will you mix me up one of those power drinks that I love? And then come in here and let's play doctor.
Okay, I see. So, it's going to be all across the board. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, so, and I think the eye-popping style from the few trailers that I've seen are going to be having people Googling cat eye sunglasses and Lily Pulitzer and Emilio Pucci. But here's a little of Ricky talking about the costuming. Beautiful.
So it takes us back to 1969. It has like those Mad Men vibes, you know, just the everything retro. Was it fun to kind of go back in time with the costumes?
Fashion is insane.
Yeah,
I was using original shirts. I heard that I was using original shirts from the era. Of course, they brought fabrics and they turned it. It was amazing. The wigs. Let's talk about the wigs. I didn't wear a wig, but everybody's using amazing hairstyles. Fashion was great. A lot of people ask me, so tell me about your fashion. I'm like, hold on. I was naked half of the time, so I don't
know.
Those Speedos. Those Speedos, I don't know. Okay. I didn't get to keep them.
That's awesome.
I know.
Is it, so, because was, I've, correct me if I'm wrong, but remember we watched with John Brenthal, American Gigolo?
Yes.
Did that take place back in the day, or was that?
Well, that was like
1990?
Yeah, that was not 1968, 69. That would have been later. That would have been more like maybe early 80s.
Yeah, I just remember we liked that.
We loved the style aesthetic of that show. And Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah, she was fantastic.
And Captain, then also, or Joan Sunday. Yeah, Detective Joan Sunday. We were like, oh, we'd watch a show about her.
What was the show we also loved that was about all about Paramount?
The Offer.
The Offer.
The Offer,
you
which
guys,
was 1972 Hollywood.
Yeah, and you were always talking about the cafes, the restaurants. So maybe we'll get some of that in this home.
We're definitely going to, I mean, this vision of America's elite in 1968-69 is shimmering jewel tones.
Okay.
Bright pops, you know, that's sort of the look, and it still is.
The hair.
It is still the look. Yeah, we're going to have great hair, beehives, headbands, falls. This is, you know, this is just when everyone on the regular just had extra hair that they put in their hair to bring it up higher.
Yeah, a little poof, yeah.
Yeah.
I just like that Ricky Martin, too, is getting, stretching out his chops a little bit outside of, you know, we haven't heard much music-wise from him. Also, that horrible, and I don't mean to bring it up, but that horrible scandal that he was cleared of, obviously.
Oh, yeah, with the family drama.
But it's good to see that he's moving on and he's got a show coming. I mean, Ricky's a good dude. I'm happy about this.
Well, I'm sure it was perfect casting. They were looking for somebody that, you know, Puerto Rican, Cuban, you know, somebody who could play this. He looks like a sexy butler. Like, I don't know if he's the sexy butler to Carol Burnett's heiress, but that was what I was picking up on. So I don't mind if it's soapy and if it doesn't really go in, if it's just more soap.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me because I kind of wish that Feud, the Capote versus the Swans, had been more soapy instead of dreary.
Yeah, you guys have been saying that. It's just, I know how excited you were about that, too.
And the episode I was most excited about was the Truman Capote, the Black and White Ball, 1962. You know, it's been much written about, and, you know, it's kind of a legendary thing. And Ryan Murphy reimagined if Truman Capote had been documenting all the invitations, because it was like the elites, and like as if he really did do a little filmmaking, but that wasn't true. But it was so boring.
Oh,
it was so boring, and there are so many women to keep track of. You're like, okay, now who's Calista Flockhart again? Oh yeah, she's Lee Radziwill. Oh, who's that again? Jackie Kennedy. I don't know. It cumbersome, and I haven't even tried the new look yet, which is the World War II, the one about Christian Dior and Coco Chanel. I don't know. I don't know if Casey will like this Paul Morrell, but I could talk him into
it. Yeah, I was going to say, this one might be one. And if he doesn't, he can always take a nap during it because he likes to do that. The Capote is getting It's got a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's not good.
That's not good, yeah.
I don't think it is. Is that from critics or audience?
Well, right now, the critics are giving it 77, and then the audience is giving it a 71.
Yeah.
That's still not great.
We're on our 90s. What's Palm Royale?
Palm Royale, unfortunately, is sitting at 59%, but that's only critics. They don't have audience yet. So
and it just dropped.
It just dropped today. So yeah. Right now, the critics are only giving it 59. But
I'm going to watch it and
give it a shot.
Yeah. Oh, I love it that I got to give free carpet advice today at the club. Talking to a friend of mine from Pilates class, and she and her husband just are redoing her mom's house because they're selling for it. The mom has moved, and she's just like, I just need some remnant carpeting. My mom's this older house and these smaller bedrooms. I'm like, you gotta go to Hammernecks. You can get really nice carpeting. And in older homes, sometimes yes, the bedrooms were smaller, and putting in carpeting is just an easy way of lifting up that space and just looking fresh and great. And Hammernecks, they have the largest selection of carpeting and hardwood flooring. They've got three locations in the metro area, also down in Rochester, but they're in Hudson and right off the Frontage Road, and New Hope 169 Bassett Road, and in St. Paul, right by Rice Street. You can also go to hammernecks.com. You know, you get the free design service, locally owned family business. Well, we are having a charmed life because one of our favorite guests, Brian Barron, who is the Director of Global Research and Clinical Development for Paula's Choice, the best skincare options and resource for you, is with us today. Hi, Brian.
Hello, hello. How are you?
We are doing pretty good. Winter is back here. No snow, but very cold after a very mild winter. And I'm assuming you've had the same.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've called it the winter that wasn't.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, we can't do anything about it right now. We just have to accept it. But man, our skin, and I know today this is from audience demand, okay? People want to know the 411 on lip fillers.
Yes. There are two. There's it's basically divided into the type of procedures you can have done in a professional setting, either a aesthetic spa or a dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
There are what's called dermal fillers, and there are those are typically made from various consistencies of hyaluronic acid, which is actually naturally present throughout the body. It is perfectly safe to inject. It's highly purified. And that is injected around the lips, depending on what the client is after.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, you would be with a practitioner that not only has had a lot of experience doing that, which will make it a lot less painful experience
right.
for the client, but is also going to take into account your face shape.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, do you want your lips to be just a little bit larger? Are we dealing with lost volume or fullness that can occur with age as we start to lose a little bit of bone in the face, a little bit of collagen? So those are all things to consider. But those procedures, they last about 6 to 9 months before you need to go in and have it done again, assuming you like the result.
Yeah.
They work very well. And then the other type are going to be your lip plumping products that typically have a balm or a gloss-like consistency. And it's not necessarily one or the other. A lot of people that have lip filler done will also use some sort of a plumping balm to further enhance the result.
Okay,
you don't
so
need to have had filler done to use the plumpers.
Okay, all right. Now, getting back, because we work with a Minneapolis Anti-Aging Skin Clinic, and the nurse practitioners there, you know, and it's affiliated with a doctor. So we work with them. So when you say a dermal filler, like, give us some of the names that someone would hear when you go in. Is that like Restylane, Voluma? What are the names called? Botox? I don't know.
Yep. Voluma and Restylane are the two big families, I guess you'd say, of dermal fillers.
Okay.
So so they do dermal fillers that you can use around the eyes, mm-hmm. on the cheeks, and so on.
Okay.
But then there's, so you just want to find out what they, so for example, I have had Restylane, it's called Restylane Kiss. Mm-hmm. That is their hyaluronic acid filler specifically for the lips. Juvederm, I think it's called Voluma.
Yeah.
I think Voluma right. Ultra. Yeah. The office will know. I mean, you definitely want, because the lips are so active, you want the fillers, the hyaluronic acid fillers for the lips are made to be more malleable and they're made to move with the lips. Mm-hmm. So there's much better odds of not getting one of the most bothersome side effects of hyaluronic acid fillers, which is going to be lumping. You'll actually feel like lumps and bumps. The good news is if that does occur, they can inject an enzyme solution into the area that causes the hyaluronic acid to degrade much faster. So it's that side effect is not something you just have to wait out. You can get it taken care of pretty quickly. So it's when you're using a specific filler for the lips, that is much less likely to occur. You're much more likely to be happier with the results, get that nice pillowy fullness as opposed to that hardened look where it almost looks like the lip line has been artificially exaggerated.
Oh yeah, we know who the celebrities are with those lips. We see them. That's they give lip plumping a bad name. The people who've over volumized or have done so much that they have that hard ridge to their lips.
Yeah. Yep. The person that does mine has actually told me that she's had to turn clients away because what they want is unrealistic. It would absolutely not look right on their face. Mm-hmm. And she tells them that, you know, very tactfully. But she said, you know, in her view, she's like that, you know, there's a certain amount of technique, of course, in knowing where to inject, but there's also artistry involved.
Right. And Brian, what is the lip flip then? Because that's also something that, like, I know someone who just was at Minneapolis Anti-Aging and they talked to her about this could be an option for her based on what she said was bothering her about her lips. But I'm like, I know, what's the lip flip again?
So the lip flip uses very tiny droplet amounts of Botox, which we would typically use to paralyze muscles that give us crow feet or the forehead lines, the little bunny lines between the eyebrows. Mm-hmm. So at some point, I don't know who started it, or because years ago, the thinking was you don't want to inject Botox anywhere near the mouth. Why would you want to paralyze muscles around the mouth? You wouldn't be able to talk. You wouldn't be able to chew. You'd be drooling all the time. But they figured out how to do it in a more micro dosing way. And they injected in key areas that caused the underside of the lip, you know, the part that is hidden to, when you relax that muscle, that underside of the lip starts to, will protrude a bit more. And that doesn't necessarily sound pretty, but when it actually can be, particularly if you're somebody who you notice that when you smile, your upper lip tends to just disappear and all you see are like your gums and your teeth. Uh-huh. For some people, that muscle around the upper lip in particular is just extra active, and the Botox will calm that overactivity down, let that upper lip relax more. So some people get lip flip and dermal filler. Mm-hmm. Because they do different things. They work in different ways. The Botox lip flip would probably last anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Hopefully you'd be one of the lucky ones and you'd have, you know, 6 months benefit out of that. And it's become popular with people in their 20s who aren't necessarily seeing any loss in fullness yet, but they just want they have either naturally thinner lips or they want to make the most of their lips without actually getting a filler.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. People are very critical about their smiles.
Yes. Yes, and not your lips, it's your teeth. Yeah. You know, I don't know. We are our own worst critic.
I know. Well, how about giving us, like, and we'll post, you know, the products you tell us. We've got that posted on our website on the Lori and Julia page. But if some lip care products for, like, that really do deliver some sort of fullness, plumpness, and smoothness as they advertise that they do.
Yeah, thankfully, in that regard, the advertising for the legitimate ones has been tempered. It's more realistic. What we're seeing today, and these ingredients are present in all three products I'm going to mention in just a sec, is some combination of peptides or hyaluronic acid type filling spheres that work in two different ways. The hyaluronic acid and like konjac sponge type spheres expand on the lips, and they help trap water that would normally evaporate from the surface of the lips. So that's not only going to help to keep the lips moisturized for longer, it's going to cause a bit of a swelling from the water that gets trapped. But unlike the swelling that can occur from like when you put a strong mint ingredient or pepper oil on the lips, where you get that warming and tingling sensation, this is not irritating. So it's not going to hurt the lips in the long run. And then the peptides take a little longer to work. Their job is to signal those supportive substances in the lips, collagen and hyaluronic acid in particular, to basically rev up again. And that will eventually lead to an increase in fullness of the lips, as well as a smoothing of lines on the lips, which tend to deepen with age.
Right. Okay. All right. So, well, that's good. That's good to know, because, yeah, you do see so many things that promise thing, and I have bought stuff that sting my lips and are, or I don't like how they smell, and I'm thinking this is just like a fake thing and nothing is even happening except maybe I'm for real irritating my lips.
Yeah, there's definitely some ingredients. I don't know if this is going up on the website too, but I have a little list of ingredients consumers can watch out for in lip plumpers. The three that I like, though, that I know should give great results for most people, one is from Dr. Dennis Gross. It's his Dermenfusion's Plump Plus Repair Lip Treatment. The other is one that we developed at Paula's Choice. It's our Hyaluronic Acid Lip Booster. This is a staff favorite, just not only because it actually does get you some plumping and smoothing, but it feels really good. It doesn't feel like thick and sticky and too syrupy. And then the other one, if you want to get some plumping and give some color to your lips at the same time, along with a high shine finish, singer and actress Lady Gaga has a makeup line called House Labs, and she has a product called PhD Hybrid Lip Glaze Plumping Gloss. That is, it doesn't have any of those minty or citrusy irritants. It ramps up that collagen and hyaluronic acid production, and it comes in a nice flattering range of shades. So if you're someone who ordinarily wears a sheer lip gloss or a tinted gloss and you want some plumping too, this would absolutely be something to check out.
Yeah, because we've got peptides in this. Right? Yeah we got peptides.
Peptides that have a specific job signaling factors in skin, again, it's all about revving up that collagen and the hyaluronic acid production, which tends to decline with age as well as environmental damage.
Oh, that damn age always coming up to bite us in the butt.
I just say to myself, think of the alternative.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And you know what? I'll have Grant post your, the little thing about avoiding lip plumpers that have like peppermint oil and menthol that you
get. I've got that on there. It's ready to go.
And then these three.
I don't want you to be disappointed and feel like you've wasted your money. And more than that, I don't want you to injure your lips.
Right. And we like that you guys are looking at everything from, you know, an ingredient standpoint, and also the fact that we here in the United States, you know, cosmetic companies can say whatever they want on their packaging. It's maddening.
Yes. But I'm pleased to see that a lot more companies are being more transparent. They're being more realistic.
Good.
But yes, as a truism, the cosmetics industry, there's still a lot of fluff and fantasy that you have to wade through or try to look past. And it's not easy because a lot of this stuff sounds amazing.
I know. That's why we're very grateful to Paula's Choice and taking time to talk to us. We appreciate it so much. And again, all of this lip stuff is, you know, the products are posted and then people can listen to you on the podcast, or we'll be replaying it at 6:30.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Brian. Again, that's Brian with Paula's Choice. And we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thanks for hanging out with us. That's a little Daddy Lessons. Beyonce, that was on her Lemonade album, which came out in 2016. And yesterday, Beyonce dropped the cover art for the album. Yep. We know the album name, Cowboy hair Carter.
Hair looked fantastic.
But yeah, she's on a horse. And she just did a little Instagram story from her, and it said Act Two Cowboy Carter 329, and then it she talks about thank you about Texas Hold'em and 16 carriages, and and then she says this album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, and it was very clear that I wasn't. And then she goes on to say, but because I did, because of that experience, she did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive, yeah. Which that is the most Virgo sentence you'll ever hear. She, you know, the deep dive.
Deep dive, yeah.
I mean, the research, Virgo is very articulate, but when she says that the album's 5 years in the making, born out of an experience where she did not feel welcomed.
It's got to be.
We knew it was. We remembered because we have long, deep gossip memories here from being around so long. But in 2017, Beyonce and the Chicks were invited. And I think they were still Dixie Chicks maybe in 2017.
They were. Yeah, I think so.
Were invited to perform at the CMAs to do that song together.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dixie Chicks had, like, they'd had their beef with country fans, you know, that whole thing that went back, you know, when Bush was in office.
And yep, yep.
They had been avoiding anything CMAs, but the CMAs wanted the Dixie Chicks back on TV. They wanted to have Beyonce and Daddy Lessons, perfect kind of country sounding song.
Beautiful song.
With all the instruments. And so they performed together at the CMAs. At the time, there was there. I mean, the people in the audience were into it.
Oh, yeah.
But on social media, there was all kinds of hostility. Trolls. And yep. I guess there was hostility that could be felt in the auditorium.
Oh.
And there was all kinds of salty people trashing the song and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And the CMAs briefly, for like about 24 hours, deleted the performance from their website.
Wow.
Because people were like, what's Beyonce doing at the, I mean, what are, why
would you even ask that question?
Why would you even ask that question? That would be like, you know, if Cher shows up anywhere, Dolly, any musician,
welcome.
They show up at anything music thing. You're just like, why would you ask?
Yeah.
Why are they there? Are you not a gathering? Anyway, here's Natalie Maines years later on Howard Stern talking about that. Grant, thanks for cleaning out the bad words.
No problem. Here we go.
Performed with Beyonce. I don't know whether it was because of your country fans who felt you had betrayed them or she wasn't country. I remember it was just a big brouhaha that you showed up with Beyonce. Criticized for that, right?
You know, it was just a weird vibe in that building. We hadn't done anything, country award shows or anything since the controversy. Let me just say, the week we worked with Beyonce is the single greatest working week of my professional life. It was awesome to watch her world, to see how she does stuff. She's a perfectionist, and to see the power she has as a female and a Black female is incredible. And I guess they can rate those shows now by the 15 minutes. It's
absolutely
the highest rated 15 minutes in CMA history.
Wow.
And then they start getting, you know, racist, bombarding their website with comments and emails and whatever. And so they take her down. They took our performance down and caved to that. And then they, I guess, got so much bad press for doing that. Within 24 hours, they put it back up again. Just cowards. It's just crazy. She just gave you your greatest ratings that you've ever gotten. How dare you take her song off?
I knew none of that. Would you ever perform at the Country Music Awards again, or have you just had it?
No, I mean, I said I would never after 2003, but then when Beyonce calls, you're like, okay, maybe just this one time. One last time.
Do you get nervous? So no,
I'll only do it with Beyonce.
Good, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, and then the other thing, then Beyonce ends her post about it. And, you know, like she is letting us know that, like, she knows it, she felt it, she studied it, she's like gonna own it. And then she signs up, this ain't a country album, this is a Beyonce album.
I love it.
This act is Cowboy Carter, and I'm proud to share it with y'all. And so anyway, she's just like, seriously, I mean, this is like such great.
It was a flex.
It was such a good flex.
Huge flex on her part, and rightfully so, like you said. I mean, and like we just learned there on that clip, unbelievable that they took that performance down with
because of racist comments. That was that's what I remember Julie and I just talking about. It's like, what? Who yells at a star from any genre who shows up at another singing thing? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like one of the, but anyway,
it's completely absurd. I agree.
She's going to spend 6 years, 5 years showing y'all why you should have kept your mouth shut.
I agree. Yeah. And we are looking forward to it. And what we've heard so far is going to be exciting. And that rumor too, now that, she's doing a cover of 9 to 5, or not 9 to 5,
which is Jolene, the Dolly. And possibly she teases other collabs with people that she really admires. So people think there might be a Taylor Swift. Of course, I'd lose my mind if there was a Cher Beyonce thing, but that might have to be in Act 3.
That could be.
Okay.
That could be. Yeah.
But anyway, some of the names of some of her song, H-Town Hussy, Star Spangled Breasts. I mean, there were like some very clever song
titles.
We're
9 days away.
Yeah, I know.
Only so. 9 days.
Anyway, but yeah, she let us know that Cowboy Carter came from her not feeling welcomed in country music. And
there's nothing like that kind of motivation, right?
Oh, I know.
It's going to be good.
It is. And it is so Virgo. I will just say that is very Virgo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold that up and...
No, just do their research and I'll show you.
I'll show you what's up. Give me some time.
Virgos, there are more CEOs that are Virgos than any other astrological sign.
That makes sense. Okay.
That's one of my astrology things you can take to the bank.
There you go. Brand. I'll take it with me.
About a Virgo.
Virgo. They're more like CEO. Virgo like
their
CEO.
They're perfection. They are demanding of themselves as well as others.
That's good. Yeah, that's what you want out of a CEO.
Anyway.
All right.
Thank you, Natalie Maines, for setting that record straight with Howard Stern a couple years ago. All right. We'll be back.